tell you a funny story about that. I was singing that song at the Hope Baptist Church in Hope, Michigan, my home church. And I started to sing the chorus, ring the bell. And they had this great big bell hanging over the baptistry. And when I said, ring the bell, that old bell went, ding. I almost didn't finish the song. It was, and of course, everybody knows me as a little boy there. And everybody's going, you know, so, amen. I want to read you a portion of scripture this morning. This is not anything to do with my sermon today. A lady came to my house yesterday and she was crying. And she says, preacher, I don't know if I can tell you this or not, but I got to tell you something. She's a widow lady. The only thing her husband left her was with bills when he died. And she's got a little boy that's a special needs child. And she said, preacher, I'm going to lose my house. She says, I'm behind 3 payments. I don't know if anybody's been there, had any of those problems or not, but some people do. And she said, I just want you to pray for me, preacher. And she told me a bunch of things that were going on in her life. And so I prayed for her. And I felt so empty when she left. I was thinking, what if that was my wife, you know? In fact, the Bible tells about a preacher's wife in the Bible that he died. And the prophet came to see her and he said, what do you have? And she said, I just got a little bit of food left and a little bit of oil. And remember, the oil never quit until the famine was done. So the preacher helped her. So I was singing, and this morning I woke up early, and this touched my heart. I went back to remind me myself in James chapter 1 and verse 27. If you'd take your Bible, please, and turn there. This is what the Bible says. Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this. So God says, being a good Christian, this is what being a good Christian is all about. You got it in your Bible? Look at it. I want you to look at it. To visit the fatherless and the widow in their affliction and to keep himself unspotted by the world. So the first thing the Bible says is you want to show you're a Christian, you take care of the widow and the fatherless. And I went and I looked up that word affliction, and affliction in the Greek means to bring a reward or to aid, or assistance unto. And that really touched my heart, and I thought, you know, am I really a Christian today? I let that lady leave without anything. And so I'm going to do something today. I'm going to see if you'll help me a little bit. I don't have $1,000. Just don't. I don't know anybody in this room that has $1,000. It's none of my business. Well, it kind of is because I'm the preacher. But anyway, I wonder if we could, I'd like to give her $1,000 and say, get your house back. Because she'll lose that house. By the end of this week, I said, who do you have the loan with? Oh, she said, they traded it down to some place in Florida. I said, have you talked to them? He said, yes. And they said, they'll begin proceedings if we don't have $1,000. She's already raised about $2,000. But she says, I don't have anything else to give. So, Brother Rick, will you take the... my wife and I are going to give her $100. If I could have 10 people give $100, we could have that done. If not, we'll go down. But hey, can anybody give at least $100? Yes. There's one. There's two. There's three. There's four, five, six, seven, eight. 9. Need one more. 10. All right. We will write that check out to her. We'll write the check out to the, what do you call it, company that they have the loan. I don't give money to people. I give money to their need. It's a good idea. Keep friends that way. You know what I mean? And so, thank you. If you want to give, just put on your check, widow. You say, well, I didn't have $100. Well, if you got 50 or 25 or 1, just write widow. And I'm going to ask the usher to come right now, and we're going to collect that. Thank you. You bless my heart. Write the check out to Heritage Baptist Church. We'll cut the check out. Yes, ma'am. You can bring the money tonight. Absolutely. Absolutely. We can bring it tonight. All right.
We can use that treasure box. People want to put it into that.
Yeah. There's a treasure box back there. You see that treasure box? That treasure box checked every time the service is over. When people come in, they want to put money in there. All right. Renee, I'm putting in a... I keep this in my billfold. You ever keep one of these in your billfold? Well, there it goes. Marcia, this is your Christmas present. All right. Just want you to know that. You know what? The Bible says... I want one more scripture to you. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 10. For those who gave today. Listen. For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which we have shown towards His name, in that we have ministered to the saints and do minister. Today we minister to the saints. All of us at the Church of Christ is personally saved. We're a saint. You know that? Even you, Chris. That's scary. But we're saints. And so when we minister to the saints, when we help somebody, that's how it is. So God said, I'm not unrighteous. I will not forget your labor love. He said, I'm going to take care of you. So usher, you come at this time, please. Thank you, brother. Oh, thank you very much. All right. If you're giving cash, we've got envelopes for you. Just raise your hand. We'll get one for you. All right. Father, I think of this dear widow that is scared to death. Lord, she was left with a lot of problems. Left with many bills. Lord, we don't understand about poor. But I do know, Lord Jesus, that You made a lot of us. And You must love us. And Lord, usually the poor people are one to give the most. Because we've been there. Lord God, I pray You'd bless. Bless that dear lady, Lord God. May her heart just almost explode to show her the love that we have for her. And be with her as she takes care of her boy. In Jesus' name, amen. I cannot tell you what that does to me as your pastor. I was crushed yesterday when she came and talked to me. I said, Lord, I don't know what to do. So, thank you. Someday you'll be a widow or a widower, and you'll think of that time that you helped. Or your wife will be a widower. That's a pretty tough place. Father, I ask You today that You'd open our hearts as we look into the Word of God. Thank You for the promises of the Word. Thank You so much for the promises that You give us. Lord, now help us tonight, Jesus. Help us just to be a blessing and encourage to others. In Jesus' name, amen. Hey, Marcia. We got it taken care of. Thumbs up. Amen. All right. I know. I'll get you something for your Christmas. All right. All right. Take your Bible, Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6. About 3, 4, 5 weeks ago, I was reading the scriptures about the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ as the Christ child. And I got so excited, I was reading that scripture where it says, the wonderful, he shall be called wonderful. And I thought, you know what, I'm going to write some sermons on his name. Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And so my first sermon was on wonderful. And you all thought I was talking about you. But anyway, and I was. But the Bible says here, Wonderful Counselor. For unto us a child is born. Unto us a son is given. The government shall be upon his shoulder. And his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor. A counselor is one who gives advice. Actually, how it's written in the Hebrew there, it's a royal advisor. It's a wise man. We think about the wise men that came to see Jesus. By the way, if you read it very carefully, he is in a house now, and the wise men come, present to him gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And I know there's a lot of stories about that, and that's a wonderful thing. Gold represents a king. Frankincense represents a sacrifice, and myrrh always represents death. And that's exactly why he came. He came as a king. They rejected him. He sacrificed his life, and he was buried. But bless God, hallelujah, he busted out. Amen. There's no corruption found in him. He was resurrected from the grave, and he lives today, resurrected on the first day. By the way, that's why we come to church on Sunday. He was resurrected on the first day of the week, Sunday. And that's when we come. Every Sunday we come to worship and to glory God that he rose from the grave. Because if he rose from the grave, then we can raise from the grave. That's the promise we have. We have a privilege of being able to go to heaven someday. So a counselor is one who gives advice, a royal advisor, a wise man. In Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6, speaks about the birth of Christ, who was called the Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. So he is called this Wonderful Counselor. A counselor is someone who gives advice about problems. Biblical scholars suggest that there's over 256 different names in the Bible that are used to speak about Jesus Christ. It is as though one name could not express his magnitude and his infinite virtue, his worth of his marvelous light. In this passage, Isaiah proceeds to give us some names that help characterize the Savior that we call Jesus Christ. The first name is used to help us understand what a child will become. He'll become a wonderful counselor. Or may I say, a wonder of a counselor. The word wonderful is a unique word in the Hebrew language. It's the word was only applied to something that could have been only done by an act of God. It is something unusual. It's beyond human capacity and capability. It's an astonishment. All right, let's illustrate it. When the children of Israel were being chased by the Egyptians and they got to the Red Sea, what happened? God, all night, the Bible said the wind blew and they were able to walk through the Red Sea. On dry ground, the Bible says. Water on one side, water on the other. My son, a very, very thoughtful young boy, he was probably about 5 or 6, Chad said to me, he said, Dad, I'd like to have done that. I said, why? He said, I saw a fish and I'd grab him right out of there. Amen. Well, he got it. Amen. He got it. So when they walked across on dry land, you could say that was wonderful. I don't know about you, but I've walked in a lot of rivers fishing, and I've never had it parted yet. I saw on Facebook a while back, says, Moses, quit that! And here their guys are fishing, and it's just a dry land. But anyway. If you've been standing with Joshua, the captain of the host of the army of Israel, when he commanded the sun and the moon to stand still in the Valley of Ajalon. That would just say, wow, that's wonderful. By the way, when NASA was trying to figure out how to get the man on the moon, they couldn't figure out there was a lapse of time lapse, so they put that satellite into orbit to whip it into orbit because they couldn't figure it out. Some guy, one of the scientists, says, "I'll tell you what's wrong with that." He said, "Do you remember when the sun and the moon stood still?" He said, "We got to calculate for that." By the way, those boys were really happy because they would have right past the moon. Amen. This is amazing that our Earth is a little bit lopsided there, just a few hours. Amen. If you'd been there when David slew Goliath, and he chased the rest of the Philistines out of the country, you would have said, "Man, that's wonderful." It is, if you were standing next to Elijah on the Mount of Carmel, when the fire fell from heaven and consumed the wood and sacrifice and the altar and licked up the water surrounding it, you would have cried, "That's wonderful." Today, if you see something wonderful, you'll say, "Man, that's awesome." Or, "Wow." Or someone will say, "That was incredible." That's exactly what it said. When Isaiah was penning the Word of God, the Holy Spirit wanted the readers to understand that this was not going to be an ordinary child that was being born. It was a special child who'd come. He was going to be awesome. He was going to be a wow. He was going to be incredible. He's going to be out of this world. There would be nothing ordinary about him because he is God and he is sent from God. Jesus is all this, Isaiah said. And then he adds the word counselor. In fact, sometimes you'll read without a comma, "wonderful counselor." When we think of a counselor, we think of someone who is filled with great wisdom. Isaiah called him wonderful counselor. Now, what does that mean? Well, it means that Jesus is the sum total of all knowledge, all wisdom, all guidance, all direction, all truth, all counsel, and all insight. Think back in the Scriptures, in the Gospel of Matthew. When Jesus Christ was only 12 years old, he and his family had gone to the Passover, and now the family's left. But he stays in Jerusalem. And after the Passover, they had left. He goes over to the temple, and his parents head for Nazareth, which is quite a right way home. This is what the Bible says in Luke chapter 2 and verse 45. "And when they," Mary and Joseph, "found him not, they turned back again, seeking him. And it came to pass after 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of doctors, both hearing them and asking them questions. And all that heard him were," what's it say, "astonished at his understanding and his answers." How old was he? 12 years old. But he's still God. See, people don't get that. He was God. He was God when he was born in the manger. He was God 2 years later when the wise men came to him. He's God here now in the temple. And the doctors of the scribes and the Pharisees are listening to him and asking them questions, and they are astonished at his understanding and answers. "And when they saw him, they were amazed." That's what the Bible said. "And all that heard him were astonished." No wonder we can call him wonderful counselor. Aren't you glad you have the wonderful counselor in your heart? Aren't you glad you've asked Jesus Christ to forgive your sins and come into your heart? He's a wonderful counselor. He knew everything about everything. He was never wrong. All knowledge of the past, all knowledge of the present, all knowledge of the future. He knew all things. He knew all the purposes of things. He created all things. He knows all the plans, and they all belong to him. He knows everything. also what's in your heart. He knows your heart this morning. He knows all about your problems and heartaches. He knows about that little lady. And her heart is broken because she didn't know how she's going to... She had no place. She'll have no place to stay in a week. He knew all about that. He knew that he'd already worked in your hearts. You didn't know it, but he worked in your hearts to give today. He's a wonderful counselor. I said, my heart was broke yesterday. I didn't want to tell her. I'd be a happy millionaire. I know so many people that need so much. I'd be out in a week. I would. Money does not make me happy. What makes me happy is giving to people to help them. And that wonderful counselor yesterday saw this old preacher bow his head at his table and say, God, you got to do something about it. I didn't say we. I said, God, you got to do something about this. He's a wonderful God. Hey, you know what? Before the beginning of time, he knew of today. He knew that little lady was going to come to my house yesterday. And he knew the answer before I even had any idea. He's a wonderful counselor. This is what he says. But when Jesus perceived their thoughts, he answered and said unto them, what reason ye in your hearts? Luke chapter 5:22. God knows our hearts. He knows what you're going through right now. He loves you. He's putting his arm around you. Sometimes some of us are lonely for those who cannot be with us today. Some of us are saddened because of the sickness and the mental problems and the heartache problems. He knows all about that. He's a wonderful counselor. You have that. What did James say? You have not because you ask not. God knows what you're going through right now. God knows on Tuesday when it dips down to 7 below 0. He knows your old stinking old truck ain't going to crank. He's been there. He knows about that stuff. I walked out of a place the other day and I saw a car that had a flat tire. And I called in and I said, hey, I said, tell so-and-so and this is their license plate that their tire's going flat. Boy, I hate that. But he knows. He knows last night when I got here to the church to start up the bus. They had no lights. And I got people going to ride to our progressive supper. And I looked. And now our bus, one of our buses did not have a light switch. It just, when you hit the starter, all the lights come on. Except the marker lights. And I'm going like, oh boy. And then I remembered. A number of years ago, we had, some of you don't know what they are. You do like this on your car, it flashes, but years ago we used to have them on the floor. Dimmer switch. And I whacked that thing. One light came on. I said, hey, that's one better than nothing, amen? So I kept hitting that thing like that, and nothing. So I got down, climbed underneath, and started wiggling that thing. And Diana was sitting out there. I called her. I said, do I have two lights? She said, you got two lights now. Once in a while, says, once in a while. I didn't touch it after that. Amen. And we're going to have a new switch put in there. Amen. I was saying that thing didn't die when I was halfway to the next house. Amen. But the wonderful counselor knew about it. He had had me remember time before. That's called deduction. Amen. That doesn't work. That doesn't work. That sounds like this. Sometimes you deduct and figure out what's going on. Amen. But it was God. Listen, Job said, behold, I know your thoughts. God said, I know your thoughts. In fact, the psalmist said, I know your thoughts afar off. That means before you think what you're going to think, he's already known about it. That's good. That's good. So the psalmist says, the counsel of the Lord stands forever. The thoughts of the hearts of all generations, Psalm 33:11. This is one of the most amazing things about this wonderful counselor. He is always ready to listen to me. He's always ready to listen to me and what I am feeling. He knows what I'm experiencing. He knows what I'm experiencing. He's always available for a schedule. No scheduled appointment. It's 24/7 with God. The other morning, I got up at 3:30. Somebody encouraged me to get up. And I was thinking about something. This morning, it happened again, and I was dreaming. You ever have a dream? And I was dreaming. Get this now. I dreamed about Mrs. Hobbs. I had come in and I had my sermon on notes. And it was going to be for a funeral. And I never use my iPad on a funeral because if it's going to go wrong, it's going wrong. And I said, Mrs. Hobbs, I don't have time. Put these in my Bible. And when I have folded sermons, I put them in the Bible like this. And they got, it starts with one, goes back to, it was 19 pages. And I had it all written out. And I said, Miss, I'll put this in there. When I came to the pulpit, Brother Rick, you're there. And I look at my Bible and she'd put them in backwards. 19, 18, 17. But then I found in the middle of it, it was 5 and 7. I said, Miss Lobs! I'm dreaming this, all right? You know? She's the most precise lady in the world. She would never do that, but in my dream. And I said to Rick, Rick, I've got to go to the bathroom to check this out. Well, I don't know. I must have ate too much pizza last night or something. But God, listen to me. God knows our hearts. And you don't have to have a schedule with Him. He's open to you 24/7, and He knows our thoughts, so He knows why I'm coming already. Jesus is a wonderful, and He's a wonder of counselors. There's no one as wise as He is. There's no one available as He is, and no one that listens like Jesus listens to us. Hey, there's times that you can't talk to nobody about certain things. You can't tell them about it. But you go to Jesus. By the way, Jesus don't gossip either. Hey, let me pray for you. What's going on in your life? Let me pray for you. And all of a sudden, you start seeing on Facebook that people are telling about you. Boy, that was a blessing, amen. A counselor is one who not only listens, but he goes a step further. I don't want you to miss this. One who is willing to become our advocate. One who's willing to stand up for us. One who no one else is willing to do it for us. An attorney is often called a counselor. Counselor, do you have any objections? And that counselor is an advocate to his party that he is working for. And he says, yes, I do. We've got some problem here. And you're not treating my client properly. And I think you ought to throw this out of court. Well, that's good to hear. Amen. Well, amen. That means I agree with you, preacher. I know you northern people don't understand that. I'm going to try to help you out there a little bit. One who's willing to stand up for us as no one else would stand for us. The story is told of the soldier who was serving the Union Army during the Civil War, and he was a young man, and he found out his father was killed, and then he found out his brother was killed, and then he got a letter from his mother pleading that he'd come home and help her and her sister with the care of the farm. The young man was granted furlough by his sergeant, and he went to Washington, D.C. to plead his case. This is a true story. Came to the president. When he arrived at the White House, he asked to see the president, and he was told in no uncertain terms, you can't see the president. Don't you know there's a war going on, boy? The president is very busy. Now go away. The young man left disheartened. Went over to a nearby park and sat down and try to figure out the next, what he's going to do and what he's going to have to say to his mom. When a young boy walked up to him and said, "Soldier, you look unhappy. What's wrong?" And the soldier looked at the young boy and he began to spill his heart out to him. He told him about his father dying and his brother dying in the war. And his mother needed him back home on the farm. The little boy took the soldier by the hand and he says, "Come on." And led him in the back of the White House, went through the back door, past the guards, past the generals and high-ranking government officials, until he got to the president's office itself. The little boy didn't even knock. He just opened the door with a soldier in hand, and there the President Lincoln was in the Secretary of State looking over the battle plans of the desk on the desk. And President Lincoln looked up and said, "What can I do for you, Todd?" And Todd said, "Daddy, the soldier needs to talk to you." Right there and there, the young man was able to plead his case. Let me tell you something. That's God. He's a wonderful counselor. The troubles come and heartaches come in our life. Jesus takes us by the hand and says, "God, this young man needs something to tell you." The Christian life is so simple that people make it so hard. The theologians make it so hard so that you don't think you can do it without them. Let me tell you something. I told that widow yesterday, I said, "Sister, you can pray to God as easy as I can pray to God. God will answer you just as much as he'll answer a preacher." I said, there's no difference. God is no respecter of person. And I said, not only that, the Bible says, first of all, I know you're fatherless because your dad's gone. And I know your daddy would have helped you. And you're a widow. Your husband's gone. And he'd want to help you. And God said, there's a special place in my heart for the widow and the fatherless. Don't you ever forget that, you ladies that are widows. There's a special place for you. And the Bible said, I even put the tears, your tears, in a bottle. God knows what you're going through. Oh, he's a wonderful counselor. He's a wonderful God that loves us and says, "Come to me, all you labor and heavy laden. I'll give you rest." This is why Jesus is a wonderful counselor. He's our advocate. He has the ear of God himself, the Almighty God, the everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. "Of the increase of his government and the peace there shall be no end, upon the throne of David, upon the kingdom, to order it, to establish with judgment and justice from henceforth, even forevermore." We want judgment and we want justice. We want fairness. Amen? And God said, "I'm going to tell you something. I'm going to give you justice. I'm going to give you judgment. I know your heart, and I know exactly why you did that. You don't know why I do certain things. Don't go judging me and saying I may give." Said, "Yeah, I know why you gave that." No, you don't. But God does. He is the perfect judge. Wouldn't it be great, parents, if you had the mind of God when your child said, "I didn't do that"? Wouldn't that be great? Wouldn't that be great if you're driving down the road and the highway patrolman pulls you over and you said, "I didn't do that"? And he said, "Well, I don't know about that." Wouldn't it be great if he had the judgment of God? No, maybe it wouldn't be. But anyway, he says, "I'm going to give perfect judgment. And I'm going to give perfect justice. What's on the books, that's how we do it. We're not going to be shady in this. We're not going to cover up things. We're not going to lie about it. This is the truth. And the truth shall set you free." He is a wonderful counselor. Let me ask you this. Don't you want a counselor to be your Savior? Don't you want him to plead your case? Don't you want this wonderful counselor to be your guide and helper? Why not this morning, right here, right now, bow your head to this magnificent God and ask him to come into your life and heart. and save your wretched soul for all eternity. Because you know what He is? He's a wonderful Counselor. Father, I pray You'd help us today. I pray, Lord Jesus, that if there's anyone here today, not sure they're saved, not sure they know for sure that they're on their way to heaven, that today would be that day, right here, right now. They'd open up their heart and say, "Dear God, I've been looking for a wonderful Counselor. I've been looking for one who is just. And Your judgments are perfect. I've been looking for one that loves me. I've been looking for one who would plead my cause. I've been looking for one that would not let me down. I've been looking for one that would not treat me wrong." Dear God, today, right here, right now, I ask You to forgive my sins. I ask You to be my Savior, my wonderful Counselor today. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. You're here today and say, "Preacher, I need a Savior. I need Jesus. I need that wonderful Counselor to be my wonderful Counselor. I know He is a wonderful Counselor, but I need Him to be my wonderful Counselor. I want to hire Him as my advocate. I want Him, and He said He'll give it to me for free. I don't have to pay for that. He already paid for it on the cross of Calvary. I want Him to be my Savior." Preacher, today, I'm asking Jesus to come into my heart and save me right here. Why don't you pray this prayer with me? Say, "Dear God, I know I'm a sinner. Forgive me of all my sins. I believe You died on the cross and rose on the third day. Come into my heart and be my Savior." You're here today and said, "Preacher, I prayed that." Would you lift your hand? God bless you. Anyone else? Anyone else? All right. God bless you. Someone else? You're here today and say, "Preacher, I want that. I need that. I gotta have that." Jesus said, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." That's His promise to you today. Won't you do that? Won't you do that? Anyone else? Say, "Preacher, pray for me. That's what I need." In a moment, I'm going to stand down in front, and if you're here today and you'd like to receive Jesus Christ as a personal Savior, oh, you just did it. I want you to step out of that seat, walk down to me, and I will show you. I'll have someone show you, a lady with a lady, a man with a man. They'll show you what Jesus Christ did for you and how He became your wonderful Counselor. Let's all stand. You're here today and say, "Preacher, I am not saved. I'm not sure if I'd die today, I'd go to heaven. Or today, I prayed that prayer." Why don't you come right now? Why don't you come and say, "That's me." As you close. Come. Just step out of the seat. Walk down the aisle. Take me by the hand and say, "Preacher, today, I want that." Why don't you come right now? God speaking to your heart. Here today and say, "Preacher, I've been saved, but I haven't followed the Lord Jesus Christ in believer's baptism. Why don't you come?" Why don't you just step out and say, "Preacher, I need to do that." Getting baptized does not save you, but what it does, it tells everybody you believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross and rose on the third day. You go down in the water, up out of the water, signifying you believe that Jesus rose from the grave. You're here today and say, "Preacher, we want to become members of this church. This is where we want to serve God at." You know, everybody ought to have a place to serve. This is where we want to serve God at. Why don't you come? Father in heaven, we thank You so much for what You've done for us. We thank You for today. We thank You for loving us and caring for us. Dear God in heaven, thank You that You are our wonderful Counselor. And Lord, it doesn't get any better than that. So Lord, bless this time. Lord, help us as we go to our separate homes. Keep us safe and bring us back tonight. Bring us back for the choir practice at 5 and at 6 o'clock evening service. Bless this time in Jesus' name. Amen. You're dismissed.